Hello and welcome to Unkonventionell Funktionell. I'm Leo, and he's Felix. He's going to introduce himself as well. And we're two German teenagers trash talking about politics, economic stuff, and you know, all the things people like to discuss about. So first things first, I guess I'm going to introduce myself. My name's Leo. I'm 16 years old, and I'm into economic stuff, and I like talking about politics, and I'm from Germany, yeah, and I guess my life is pretty fucking boring, so yeah, go on, yeah, man.
I can say the same about me, so it's a boring life, but I'm really into sports, and especially basketball and esports, and I also like to play some games, video games, and yeah, that's really it. Maybe films and movies are something I can mention or are really worth to mention, but that's basically it. My life is pretty boring too. We are just here sitting at our computers, talking into microphones and thinking of ourselves what we are doing here. But
true, yeah.
I think this is enough introduction about us. Maybe for everyone else listening, we would like to thank you for our 60 followers. That's really cool and awesome that we have so much followers after two episodes. That's an immense base. We didn't thought that much. And also we had 286 streams, which blowed our mind actually. So thank you for that. And I think we can right off start with the topic. But before, I want to mention what everybody thought right now. It's Leo's British accent. Can you please do something again? That's pretty funny, I think.
Oh, fucking hell. I guess that's just how I talk. As a matter of fact, that's what I listen like. But
you mean you talk like a low wobble?
A bottle of water.
A bottle of water, you know? Okay.
When I got my British mates listening to this, I got he's a fucking genius. Well, a friend of mine from London, I think I sound pretty German for them, but I'd say for all German friends, I sound like a weird mixture of everything.
That's but, right, man. You know.
And talking about English, our today's topic actually is Northern America, and especially the focus is on
US
and the United States, yes, because let's just put it that way. Well, let me just start off by saying, in my eyes, the United States is just a huge shit show for the rest of the world to enjoy. I mean, like, honestly, look at them. When you just take a look what happened in this year is 2.5 months old, all right, and that much stuff happened over there. It's just we can just, you know, we don't have anything to do with it. We can just sit on the other side of the sea and just watch them, you know, just taking the piss, which in my opinion is actually pretty funny. I mean, they are pretty dangerous in you know, when the wrong people are leading it.
You can say the name Donald Trump. I mean, name.
Of course, yeah. I mean, he is a bit of a prick, not gonna lie. Yeah, but the whole country and political, as economic wise, it's just a huge shit show in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm being honest. I can fully agree about that. It's just sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's really, I can say you get really anxious that they destroy themselves and get a second civil war. But I also think maybe a second civil war won't be that bad, so it would maybe reunite them. I mean,
fair enough, yeah.
It's close to a civil war, I can say. I mean, the polarization is immense though over there, so it's, I mean, I think the Meridian party opinion is drifted so far apart that I can say a war is inevitable or something like that, because I don't see how they can get back together. But you have to also say that a polarization is happening all around the world, so it's not only a problem of the US. But I think the two-party system is like skyrocketing this phenomena. So I don't know really where they can get back together. And get into a dialogue, because in today's politics over there, it's who has the majority in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And if there is no and the Oval Office, so these three things now in the hands of the Democrats, if this is happening, then something is really moving in the US. But if one of these institutions is blocked by a Republican, or otherwise we have two, like the Senate and the Oval Office, but the House of Representatives in the hand of the Democrats, then everything is blocked. It doesn't matter which or what it is, it's always blocked by the other party. There's no dialogue going on. And yes, this is a big, big problem, I think.
I agree on that. I definitely agree on that. I think the big problem of the United States is when you take a look at the political system, and also when you take a look at the election system, both of these systems are completely outdated. Because when you take a look at the roots, where all these systems come from, it's been a complete different time back then. And for that reason, I think if they would change the system, I mean, usually you would say never change a running system, but obviously the system is not running, eh? That's pretty obvious. No. So because of that, I would say they would have to change the system, but they won't change the system, because the system, well, it's good for both sides, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, they both taken advantage of it. So I wouldn't say that they will change it, that they won't. I mean, obviously, that they'd be dumb if they change it. So, but on the other side, yeah, you're completely right. To be fair, you have to say that we have this polarization and this problem with far left and far right everywhere, all over the globe. I mean, we also have the problem here in Germany and Europe, Asia, everywhere. But I think, especially in the States, the problem is far bigger than in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I mean, they group behind one leader, and there are only two parties, so they have only one victim to blame. So they're crashing onto each other, and this is kind of a war situation, you can say. Like, they only have one opponent. They don't can shoot on other opponents, you can say, like the AfD is doing in Germany. Yeah, they shoot against many parties, so they don't have one specific enemy, you can say. So the possibility of a war, you can say, or something like this, is far lower than in the US, because they're really two sides banging their heads together. And I think this is a big dangerous point, you can say, and a big factor in this one. But you have also to say that the problem also occurs because of the countryside and the urbanization parts of the, or urban parts in the US, because you can really see in the election maps that every city elects Democratic. There are very few cities that do not elect a Democratic candidate. They are always
bigger cities.
Yeah, the bigger cities. They're always won by a Democrat, and that's, I think, something of a indicator for the problem also occurring in the U.S. That the countrysides feel themselves just lost and not acknowledged. So, like the east part of Germany has in Germany, they also feel, yes, like they are not acknowledged and helped and left alone to die, you can say.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. I think I would even go a step further, and I would say the urban and the countryside part, they are living like two complete separate lives. You see, that, and for that reason, you just mentioned that's why they are also electing completely different. Obviously, and I think here is the problem. I think it's the politics. I mean, it's or it should be their job that they try to reunite them and get them, you know, on the same level. You see, concerning everything, concerning racism, concerning education.
Also infrastructure is, I think, a big point in there. The infrastructure on the countryside is just shit.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just take a look at the coast. Take a look at the West Coast, the East Coast, and maybe also Florida. The infrastructure is great, but then when you're going down south or Midwest, it's getting worse and worse and worse. You see, and that's why the people are getting angry, obviously. I mean, if I would be living there, I'd be angry as well. So I think that's one of these main factors why the country is so splitted. And this huge split we have here, it represents a big... I wouldn't say a mistake, but it represents a big
factory.
Danger, I would say. I think that's the right word to call.
The thing with universal healthcare and something like this, like basic needs, you can say, they are not provided over there because they want to say, yeah, live the American dream, work hard, win hard, or I don't know what they really like to say, but this is like a symbolic thing, you can say, because they do not provide anything that is not, that does not make them any money. So if there's no gain or something, or even a loss, you just completely shut it down. So there's no infrastructure on the countryside because they do not gain anything. I mean, it's also in Great Britain or in Germany, you can say, all over the world. For example, a railroad is not a few points worth to build in a small town where you'd say a dozen people ride it every day. So you lost a lot of money. But in these countries, it's provided because it's a basic need. And this serves as an economic growth factor for these small towns, or that these people don't feel lost like they do in the US. And because they don't do something like this in the US, it's a big problem that also boosts this polarization, I would say.
Yes, I think there are couple of factors that push the separation, but it obviously is a big problem. And then I often, when I speak to foreign people, and they're like, well, why would you care? Like, it's the US, like, just don't give a fuck. And I'm like, well, I think they often don't believe that also US politics, because, well, as a matter of fact, they are the biggest or let's say the most, the country with the most influence all over the world.
Maybe not all over the world, but also in the Western world.
I think that's the right word to call it. Yes. And that's why they also, they have a big impact on us and European and German politics. And that's why I think I do have the right to give my opinion on US politics, because it also affects us, it affects me, it affects my country, economic, everything. I mean, obviously, when you just take a look at economic, when you take spring last year, about March, April 2020, everything dropped, not only in the US, also in the European Union. And I mean, it wasn't that bad in Asia and Southeast Asia, everything affected what happened in the US, also Germany. Also, yes. when you take a look at the election, it had huge impact on German politics and what several important people in the German political system think of the candidates, or who's going to win, or what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think to come back to the point you said about why do you care about them or their politics, is as they are our biggest partner, and they are also protecting us, when you want to say that in a military sense, as they have many stations all over the world, or bases, military bases. They are not only stations, they are bases with, I think, the Ramstein station has about 12,000 people, and they are like American cities in Germany, or
yes,
you can say all over the world. So there's not only this one, there are also 20 nuclear atom bombs in our country from them. So they are really affecting us, and also the paying debts and something like this also affects all of us. And it's, I think, a very important part to also understand your your friend. So you also have to care about your friend, or you do normally care about your friend. I don't know if this is normal or something like this, but I guess, yeah. So you have to understand and care about your friend, and also help him with his problems. I mean, the US also helped us after Second World War, after we did many and big mistakes. They didn't just say, oh no, we leave you alone to die and rip you off all of your stuff you can, which help you to boost your economy. Maybe this is partly because of the Cold War that was emerging back then, but I think in the end you can say helping your friend is always, gives you always benefits than caring.
Yeah, that's what friends are for. And honestly, going back to the time after the Second World War, honestly, I would say, which might sound a bit arrogant, but I would say the States as allies taught us how to,
get back on track, I would say.
Yeah, and they taught us how to create a good, proper working democracy. I mean, we had one back in the 20s, but in the end, obviously,
say proper working, I guess.
Because... No, obviously. I mean, we all know what happened in the 30s, don't we? Yeah, so I would say they taught us how to do a proper democracy, but I would say we took their thought of democracy, used it and made it better. And yep. They still stick to their old democracy. But as time continues, or as time goes on, you know, you have to rethink your stuff. And you also have to rethink your democracy. Your democracy has to get better and more modern. You know, it has to fit its time. And I think that is also one of the big mistakes they made. It just didn't change over the years. It's more or less still the same thing. The winner takes it all and living the American dream. And, I mean, something has to change, obviously, because it's not working out anymore.
I think.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think in Germany, I would say it's a Teufelskreis, yeah? Because you have, like, the one thing that's is the system, the old system, that's preventing change. But on the other hand, it's this polarization that's coming from the system, or is a child, you can say, from the system, that influences that you have to have all power to change the system. But if you have the power, you realize, I have the power. Why should I change it now? The system got me the power. So the one affects the other, but the other then affects the first one, and is a reason to don't change both of these columns. And this is like a circle you can't break through. The only change I see there is when one president or party at any day realizes, oh shit, we have a problem, we need to change the voting system. But I think they don't...
That's not going to happen.
They don't want to do that because it's working for them. They get their attention every 8 years at least. Or every 12 years.
And like I said before, never change a running system. I mean, for them, it is running, but not for the majority of people in the US. You see, for the parties, obviously, it's running because it's working. But, when you take a look at the results, when you take a look at what in the end comes out, obviously, it's shit. It's not working. And... Yeah, so like we already said, it's just not going to change, yeah. Is it? I mean, there's no chance. And the only chance I'm seeing is that when, I would say, in about 10, 15 years, when China's taken over, they might see that it is a problem, and by then they might change. But they're not going to change before, because they're feeling comfortable with it. So why the fuck should they change, you see? And that, I think that is a problem. That is a problem. But yeah, I mean, the one problem is the system. The other problem is in the society itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think the head of the Green Party in Germany had a really good idea about this. He said you have to convince the people of a crisis that is not there but can be there in the future to prevent this crisis. But the people don't want to spend money on something that isn't really there, or you don't feel the things or the followings coming from this crisis. That's what happened with the COVID crisis. So the people didn't really know about it and didn't want to change anything about healthcare or something, or a health system like we in Germany or we have also, we're also really run over by this crisis. So you have to change to convince the people that there is a crisis coming, but it's not really there. So you have to spend money to avoid this crisis. But if you can't convince the people, because if they never experienced this crisis, they don't really want to change it, because it worked for them all the time. And I think this is really symbolic for the problems we have in our society, and also in Germany, not only in the US. And I think that's really what you're referring to, that when China is the king, I can say, or they are close to being the king.
Yes.
So when they are the king, I think then maybe they change it, but I'm not quite sure if they really want to do it, because they don't see China as a threat right now, or a big threat right now.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, like I already said, they're feeling way too comfortable, politic-wise and also society-wise, you see? And like you said, as soon as they get to feel the threat, something might change, you know, they'll be panicking, but that's the moment when it's going to be too late. Yep. But they don't give a shit yet, because it's not that far yet. Yep. Same thing
with the climate crisis.
Yeah, and other things. When you take a look at the society, I mean, everyone knows that, I mean, citizens of the US are well known for their unbelievable geographic skills and lots of knowledge about different cultures. You say, like, please don't take me too serious. I'm just
Europe isn't a country, man.
No, it's,
oh,
it
shit.
Is a country. It is a country. I think London is
London is the capital.
England is my city. England is my city. Well, no, but honestly, I'm just joking. You see, I'm not saying that the majority, or well, maybe the majority of the US is like that, but obviously there are lots of people who are not like that. And I think that's also the thing. The people are just, you know, they're just too lazy. I mean, we have to learn English, because obviously it's starting to rain, eh? Because it's the language of the world. But, you know, they already speak English, so they're feeling comfortable with themselves. They're like, all right, everyone can understand me, so why should I give a fuck about different countries, different languages, different cultures? And I think, I'm saying that this is, it's kind of sad, I would say. I'll consider it's sad, not like bad and oh my god, they're so disrespectful. I mean, it's disrespectful in one way, but on the other hand, in my eyes, it's just sad. You know, they're just missing out on other people's culture and so on. I mean, they're obviously getting better. It's been worse back in the days, but it's still a major problem in my eyes, you see?
Yeah. I think to conclude this maybe is to say, they are feeling comfortable with how it's working out the last 100 years, and they don't think they need to change it. But around them, there are many cultures arising, and they are now that intelligent to, I can say, outsmart them. So they're really just making fun of them and hope they get a downfall.
Get away with it.
Yeah, maybe, or something like this, so they can themselves arise. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I think we said enough negative things now about the US. Maybe we can start about talking about maybe some I can say positive things about the US and North America.
No, but honestly, no, I'm just taking the piss. But yeah, obviously there are lots of positive things. Like we already mentioned, when you take a look at the time, the 40s, 50s and 60s, like the time after the war, I would really say that it did a great job with helping us, the Germans, out, getting back on track and, just setting up this democracy. And, well, I mean, obviously, for us, it worked pretty well. And, I mean, they were there for us till the 90s after Germany reunited, and I would really say that's a really good thing they did. And also when you take a look at all the new inventions and all the tech and all this new stuff comes from, well, most of the big major parts, they come from the US. I mean, like we already said, China, you know, they're catching up, they're doing a great job. But all the big firms, all the big important people come from the US, and I think they're doing a great job with that.
I can agree with that. The inventions are really spreading in the US. They have a really open system, you can say. They're really free to get a startup going really fast, and it's really easy, I think, to found an enterprise in the US. That's a, I can say, great thing, but also
I mean, when you compare that to Germany, in Germany you have a lot of bureaucracy, you have sign sheets of paper over and over again until you get work, and then you need money from the bank. It's not that easy. They do background checking on you and so on and so on. So it takes you quite some time to get it going. And that's, I would say, that's the good thing about chasing the American dream. Yeah, but you, like we already said, you got to be careful with it. Now we were talking about the positive things the US.
Yeah,
so it's your turn then. Go on.
So we did a small pause because Leo had to pee really hard. Hope he's better now. We were at the positive things about the US, and I just wanted to say that I think the US is a really great country from the scenery and the land side. It's really cool to, I think, visit the country. All these different kinds of climates and something like this. You have a really cold climate in the north and a really hot climate in the south, and you have valleys and you have deserts and all this kind of stuff. I think it's really cool to see the wildlife in America, and also I think the cities are really cool in America. I mean, they are different to Europe. They are much, you can say, higher build. Yeah, they are,
obviously
they have many skyscrapers, which is something completely different for us. But they also have this really innovative forms of building and all these avenues. I mean, they always build on grids, I think, or the most cities are built on grids, which is not normal for a European person, I can say. And I think this is something really fun to experience in the end. And Leo, do you have something positive to say about the US also?
Of course, yeah. Like I just mentioned, we have the economic and also invention tech part, which is pretty stunning in my eyes. I'm really inspired by that. And like you mentioned, yeah, the landscape is very beautiful. When you think about, you have one country and you've that many and different landscapes and climates over there. From, well, when you're on the west coast, you have this beautiful beach, sun and palms everywhere, just lovely. Well, then you're going, well, farther east, you have you have the Rocky Mountains, you have snow up in the north, and it's just lovely. And also the cities, for example, when you take cities on the east coast, like Boston and New York, just, you know, this industrial vibe they have, these industrial buildings with all the brick houses. I think that's just something unique, which gives you like unique spirit. It's just this American spirit you get, and I think that that's really special about the US. You don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
So obviously there are lots of positive things about the US, but I would say, like, you know, to conclude, I would obviously say that the bad things or the bad habits of the US, you can find them in politics and society. So the US itself as a country is a really nice country, I would say. But the problem here are the people
inside
in the politics
country.
And also the thought in the society, you say? You see? So I think that really is a problem. That's the point where something has to change. But overall, it's lovely.
Yeah, I think I'm not really sure about how I would rate this, you can say. I'm really excited, or I really like the landscape, as I said. And also, I think living there is pretty cool for some years, but I think maybe not all your whole life. And what I'm really curious about is these sport concepts, I can say, the sport franchises. I really like them, so I'm not really sure if I could say I would like to live there or not, because I think the experience would be worth it, but I can definitely say I think a whole life I couldn't last over there. I think I would rather go to Canada or something like this, as they are, you can say, the better US. So in the end, I guess we are finished about our talk on the United States and its up and downsides. So I would come to the last section, our playlist. For the everybody hearing us the first time, we have a playlist in which we are adding two songs in every episode. So one from me and one from Leo. And I think, Leo, you are now allowed to start with your song.
Oh, yeah, all right. Then I'm going to start off. My song in today's episode is, hold up here. It's called Run For Your Life by The Siege. It's an older song. I think it's from back in 2018. It's a lovely song, not going to lie. The thing is, it's a bit, I would say, like, it's rap, but it's, I like them, because The Siege, they're two people, one black guy and one white guy, and, you know, they're just, the mixture of both of them is great, I love it. The two, they're not really well known. Well, let me check, they have, 1 million listeners per month, so that's not that much, but they're really great. I can recommend them, also the other songs. That's why I'm going for this song today. Yes, how about you?
I'm going for a song I'm enjoying listening to the last few weeks. It's Sick and Tired from Ian Dior, Machine Gun Kelly, and Travis Barker. I think some names are familiar. Ian Dior, up and coming rapper. He had his first breakthrough, I think, 2019 or something like this. And maybe when you listen to Machine Gun Kelly back in 2016, 2017, you're experiencing a really different Machine Gun Kelly here, because he's really going into the pop direction, not really in his rap prime time, you can say. He's really changed up the music style in the last 2 years. Maybe also his new album from, I think, back in October last year is worth a try. It's really, you can say, pop and not really rap. So this song I really enjoy, but I also put in a cover from the song I'm really enjoying. So there are actually two songs, both called Sick and Tired, and the one is from the original, and the other is from Reptile Legend and T-Lost. I don't really know about anything about them, but I really enjoyed the cover, as it's really something like has a EDM vibe to it, and I'm really into the EDM zone right now, I can say. So this is my adding to the playlist, and I think we're through this podcast episode right now. So
yes, let me add one last thing concerning the next podcasts. I'm pretty sure, yeah, well, we're gonna continue in German, But if you're saying, all right, you like this, it's interesting listening to German teens, which sounds like a really bad porn category, not gonna lie. Anyways, so if you're interested in that, not in the porn, listening to us, you see, well, then just let us know, give us some feedback, and then maybe we'll continue or do another couple of episodes in English. If not, if you're saying you didn't enjoy it, you didn't like it, it sucks, well, obviously we're not gonna continue in English then. But just let us know how you liked it. Also the Germans were listening, well, just give us feedback if you liked it or if you prefer the German version of it, because, you know, we're just in this, we're just starting off and we're figuring things out, trying different things. So we'll really love your feedback, and maybe we'll do some Instagram polls asking you if we should do more English episodes or not, and then we'll just see what the majority says.
Yeah, maybe you agree on that? Yeah, maybe for the feedback in the end. Last time I got something to say about, or some friends of mine said they did not really enjoy these brain legs, I can say. Maybe they also in this episode again, obviously, but not because I don't know what I want to say. Like last time I was pretty dumb, I can say. I don't know what happened there. This time it's just because me and Leo are searching for the right word to express ourselves, as we're not mother tongue in English, obviously. So we want to excuse us for this kind of problem, you can say. At the end, I just want to say thank you for listening and continuing to support us. And also thank you that you're now listening to our third episode. Or third? We are in the third episode.
Third, yeah, it is.
And so I would say goodbye from my side, and Leo maybe wants to say goodbye from his.
Goodbye and take care. Bye.